to Vitalita Health. I'm Lisa Henderson, a registered dietitian nutritionist and a proud Gen Xer. If you're a Gen Xer, you've landed in the right place. I created this podcast specifically with you in mind to provide you with current high-quality information about healthy aging and healthy living during this critical point in your life. In this show, we'll approach health from a whole person perspective, and we'll discuss a variety of health topics, everything from nutrition and exercise, to managing stress and emotions, to weight management, sleep, and beyond. We'll also discuss proactive and natural approaches to preventing or managing chronic conditions that those in middle age are at risk for. Things like prediabetes, hypertension, heart disease, and cognitive impairment, just to name a few. So let's jump into today's topic, which is the health effects of red wine. And I think this topic is especially important right now for Gen Xers for a couple of reasons. So number one, alcohol intake reportedly increased during the COVID pandemic, and wine is more popular than ever. Number two, alcohol has cumulative effects on the liver, and this occurs silently without our awareness until serious damage has occurred. So we want to be aware of that and prevent that from happening. And our middle age years are a critical time when we can make changes, because if you're drinking too much and you reduce your alcohol consumption now or even quit drinking, it might prevent serious problems like cirrhosis from occurring. Number three, another reason why this topic might be of particular interest to Gen Xers is that many Gen Xers are at a busy, stressful time in their lives. You might have kids or teenagers who are demanding your attention, and at the same time, you might also have aging parents who might need some extra attention. And because of all of these things, you might also have increased financial pressure. So because of that high stress level, I think as a generation, we're at risk for reaching for alcohol or wine more often to try to cope with that stress. And number four, the final reason why I thought Gen Xers might enjoy an episode on red wine is because we're a curious bunch. And I thought you might want to hear current information on resveratrol, which is one of the main polyphenols that is linked to the health benefits of drinking red wine. So to understand the history of the health benefits of red wine, let's travel back in time a few decades. Back in the 1980s, many were delighted to hear the news that red wine was good for heart health. Research had been done at the time on the French paradox, the observation that the French had lower rates of heart disease, despite having a diet based on rich, creamy sauces, high in saturated fat. So what could account for this? Wine is a key part of the French lifestyle, and red wine in particular was identified as supporting heart health. Studies found that red wine contains antioxidants that may protect the heart and the arteries. And since that time, additional research has been done, which provides some support for the health effects of a moderate intake of red wine. One of the main benefits of red wine is found in its polyphenols, in particular, the potent antioxidants quercetin and resveratrol. Research shows that they can help regulate blood pressure and have protective effects on the heart. They have been shown to thwart the development of heart disease by preventing dysfunction in the arteries of the heart. They protect the inner layer of arteries and also prevent LDL cholesterol from getting oxidized and wreaking havoc in the arteries. Red wine reportedly has 10 times the amount of antioxidants than white wine. Dark red and purple grapes also contain high amounts of antioxidants, with the additional benefit of dietary fiber. Much of the antioxidants in grapes is in the skin, so eating grapes might be a better choice than drinking grape juice. Let's zoom in and look at resveratrol specifically. It has been shown in research to have anti-carcinogenic, antiviral, neuroprotective, anti-inflammatory, and antioxidant properties. Regarding brain health, there has been some research evidence that resveratrol can protect brain cells or neurons and increase blood flow to the brain. And this could be beneficial for neurological disorders like Alzheimer's disease. However, the amount of resveratrol in grapes or wine is actually quite small, anywhere from 0.25 milligram to 1 milligram per serving. For example, in one study, it showed that 250 milligrams to 500 milligrams improve blood flow to the brain. And I know you're not going to drink 500 glasses of wine a day. That would be a little excessive. So considering taking a high-quality supplement of resveratrol could be a good approach. As a supplement, it's been shown to be generally safe and without side effects at a range of doses up to 2.5 grams per day. So what dosage would be beneficial? The exact dosage is not clearly defined, but it's worth noting that well-known researcher and professor, Dr. David Sinclair, who runs a research lab at Harvard which studies aging and genetics, he has publicly stated that he personally takes 1 gram per day of resveratrol powder. And apparently, because it's insoluble in a powder form, you need to mix it with something. So he mixes it with yogurt so that it will dissolve and you're able to absorb it into your system. However, as always, before taking any supplement, always check with your doctor to make sure it's not contraindicated for your unique situation. So now that we've discussed some of the science and the health benefits of resveratrol, let's get back to talking more broadly about wine. When drinking wine, bear in mind that one serving of wine is 5 ounces. And that's sometimes smaller than most wine glasses. Excessive wine intake can have detrimental effects on the body. So carefully watching your portion size is important. Binge drinking or chronic excessive drinking increases the production of free radicals, which can cause damage to cells and tissues, to the liver, and also creates inflammation. And here's a surprising fact. Each time someone binge drinks, it damages their liver. Each time. And it can produce irregular heartbeat, low blood sugar, TIAs, which are also called mini strokes, or sudden cardiac death. Chronic excessive drinking can cause pancreatitis, high cholesterol, high triglycerides, and increased body fat. It can also cause alcoholic liver disease, which is common in people between 40 and 50 years old. You've probably heard of cirrhosis, which is the final stage of alcoholic liver disease. Alcohol also affects absorption of certain vitamins and minerals, especially thiamine, folate, vitamin B12, zinc, and amino acids. And for those with a pattern of chronic alcohol use, alcohol can tend to replace food intake. As a result, that can lead to malnutrition or nutrient deficiencies. All of this being said, you're probably thinking that I'm a teetotaler and judgmental about drinking wine. And that's actually not true. I really enjoy and savor an occasional glass of red wine. I love the deep, dark, intense flavors in red wine. Some of my favorites are Syrah, Cabernet Sauvignon, and Zinfandel. How you eat and drink is not just about health and nutrition, but it's also about pleasure and celebration. So I think that red wine can be part of a healthy diet if you're careful and you follow these tips. So here are my recommendations for red wine. If you're going to drink red wine, Drink it early in the evening with a meal or on a full stomach. Drinking wine later at night can cause sleep interruptions. Also, another tip is to measure out a serving size of wine, which is 5 ounces, using a liquid measuring cup at home to visually get an idea of how much your wine glass holds. You also want to be honest with yourself about drinking. Many people tend to underestimate how much they're actually drinking and how often. Another good idea is to make a plan. Set a limit for how much you're going to drink in advance. Drinking alcohol, as you know, tends to loosen your resolve. So set a limit with yourself before you start drinking. Also think about what non-alcoholic beverages you could have once you've reached your limit. Another tip is to start with a smaller portion of wine, like a half portion. If you're at a restaurant or a bar, say you're on a date or with your spouse or partner, if it's someone that you're sharing kisses with, you could consider sharing a glass of wine. Another idea at a restaurant or bar is you can ask the server if a half glass of wine is an option or a 3-ounce portion. So in general, you want to aim for a maximum of 1 drink a day for women, a maximum of 2 drinks a day for men, and if you're over 65, a maximum of 1 drink per day, whether you're a man or a woman. This is because our ability to metabolize alcohol decreases as we age. And you don't want to make wine or alcohol a daily habit. This tends to be a slippery slope and lead to more drinking over time. So I hope these tips are helpful for you. I posted the content from this episode as well as some additional helpful links into a blog post on my website at vitalitahealth.com. That's V-I-T-A-L-I-T-A health.com. So if you don't have an amazing memory, you can always visit my website to read the content of my podcast episodes and find additional helpful resources. Also, feel free to email me at vitalitahealth@gmail.com. I'll be starting a Facebook group shortly for this podcast as well, so keep an eye out for that. So in summary, while there are some health benefits with light intake of red wine, there are also serious risks to consider with alcohol use. Be smart when deciding if, when, and how much wine you'll enjoy. See you back here next week. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe or follow this podcast so you don't miss an episode, and share it with friends and family who might benefit from this content. If you enjoyed this episode, I would love it if you would leave me a 5-star review. Thank you. I appreciate my listeners. This podcast discusses nutrition and health in an informational and educational manner only, with information that is general in nature and that is not specific to you. This podcast is not intended to replace medical advice, nor to diagnose, prescribe, or treat any disease, condition, illness, or injury. You should consult a physician or other trusted healthcare professional before adopting any of the suggestions in this podcast. I accept no liability for any loss or damage you may incur.